we continue our focus in our individual commitment to God and to His family, I once again want to remind you of exactly how we relate to God and how He relates to us. As you and I go through life, God is there. Now, as we walk through this life, so often you and I have not paid attention to His presence in our life. We get to a point in our life to where you and I know that the Holy Spirit of God is bringing us under conviction. The Holy Spirit is standing right here, convicting me of the sin in my life. Here I am, the real me's down here somewhere, driving this body I call a vehicle through life. This body is not me. This body's not going to make it through this world. But the real me down in here that's driving it, and how many times I've driven it in the ditch, hit the trees, never made the curves, I can't count. But under conviction, God says, I want to indwell you, Larry. I want you to accept my Son as Lord and Savior of your life. And I say, yes, Lord. Here am I. Take me and send me. Now, at that time, you and I have a relationship, not a religion. We have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, I, as just one person, I am only a mere link in the church. Therefore, I realize that I'm a link, but I'm a master link because the master has taken over and come within me to lift me up, the same as with you as Christians. And then we master links, because the master now is to be in charge, we hook together to form that mighty chain within the body of Christ we call the church. So you and I then link together. We represent who Jesus Christ is in this world. You and I, as a church body, have put on the face of Christ. And you will see within that face a multiplicity of personalities. You will see in the face of Christ your face, my face. You will see where Christ is showing us that He loves us, and that we are family. So therefore, as a family of God, you and I are to go into the world acting like we are winners, not going into the world feeling like we're defeated. I am a Christian. I'm already a winner. Nothing can pull me out of God's hands. No power on this earth, in the heavens, or under the earth, can ever pull me now away from God's love as a child of the King. I'm a child of the King. I shall remain His child. God said, I want you to look in your life. I want you to look at who you are. Now, I'm dealing now with relational health. How we relate to one another. How we relate to God. How we relate to strangers. And God said, I'm going to give you the word. I'll give you the truth. But I want you to stand for my word and my truth. Not what you think the truth is. Not your words that you choose, but mine. Therefore, each of us then, in that relational health, we understand there's a difference between us. There's never going to be another person ever created that is just exactly like you. Will never happen. Identical twins are not identical. It will never happen. God says, you're unique. And God does not take away our uniqueness when we marry. God does not take away our uniqueness when we go for higher education. We are unique in God's eyes. We are individuals. Therefore, the husband and wife team must understand that each part of that team is an individual personality. We may learn over the years what one likes and the other likes and the dislikes, but it doesn't help us to deeper understand that you and I are individuals. Sure, we learn the likes and the dislikes of family members, of people that we deal with on a daily basis. So therefore, understanding that as a Christian, I understand this. I have my calling, you have your calling. Each of us accepting our responsibility for the call that God has given us. That's relational health. That's a healthy relationship where you and I acknowledge others see things different, but they serve the same God. They are just as saved as you are, or I am. That's the individual salvation. But when God hooks us together as a church, God says to us as a body of believers, I want you to use the gift I've given you to glorify me and help others. I will give you what you need to help others. When I give it to you, help others. When I give to you your mission, I will not change your mission. God does not make a mistake. When he called us for whatever that mission is in our life, he doesn't recall us and say, wait a minute, I made a mistake. God doesn't make mistakes. God says, I want you to understand there are boundaries in relationships. Before you and I can understand our boundary with one another, we must first focus on the boundary that you and I have in recognizing that God is in control and our individual boundary with God. Listen, Proverbs 4:23. Above all else, guard your heart. Now, let me stop there for a second. Heart. I've heard many people talk about, I don't want a heart transplant because I'm afraid I won't be saved. Folks, you and I need to look at the scripture for what the scripture is saying to us individually. You and I need to understand that when God speaks, he speaks in a language to where you and I can understand. Do you say you have a broken heart when somebody's hurt you? Is your heart okay? Is this not really broken? The one here pumping that 5 quarts of blood through your body every minute. It's working good, right? You'll let me know if it's not, won't you? Real quick, and everybody around you. Okay, that heart's doing fine. But God uses metaphors throughout Scripture. That heart is the heartbeat that pumps that blood. But God refers to your spiritual heart. Is our spiritual heart pumping the grace and the love of God? Is our spiritual heart, that's the real us, that's the real me, that's the real you? Are we about our Father's business or sticking our nose into everybody else's business? God says, pay attention to your heart. Guard your heart. Satan knows how to get at me. He can't get at me through my spiritual born-again heart because it belongs to Jesus. He's already been kicked out of heaven. He knows what happens when he messes with Jesus. So he's not going to fight that. What he is going to do is go back over here to the physical me with that heart here that's pumping that 5 quarts of blood every minute throughout my body. And he's going to tempt me, the human me. Don't we realize there's a battle going on? The war is between this human me inside of me and this spirit inside of me. And God says, stand strong in the spirit. Protect your heart. Therefore, when I mess up from the human side, do I not then, when I step into the ways of the world, do I not take into that world my spiritual being in this body? Don't we do that? And God said, guard your heart. Guard that spirit. Before you take a step, know that that step is the Spirit of God. Understand that God cares about everything you do. Every day of your life, every second of every minute, God cares. There's not a point, not a period. There's nothing, no thing, no person, nobody else is going to be able to touch you. Therefore, we stand, God says, without excuse. I will have revealed myself to you, says God. So what am I going to say? What's your family going to say when they're tired of laughing at you because you say you have a relationship with Jesus? You do not bring a charge against them. They have turned God away because he has revealed himself to us and to the world. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Right? Every function in our body works through the pumping of that blood through the veins, through the arteries, through our body, right? Therefore, God says everything you do flows from it. Therefore, that means that my outward conduct must be a part of my inward condition. How I am on the inside is seen by how I act on the outside. When I say that I love you and I do not present the mode of love, would you not question it? When God says, I love you, I created you for a purpose, why do we question it? Why do we not say, here am I, Lord, send me? I'll tell you why. When you take a step with God, it is a step fighting hell itself. And we become afraid as Christians. We don't want to stand up anymore for the evil that's around because we want people to like us. Folks, I do not frankly care whether I'm liked. I care that I'm loved. I don't look to be liked. I look to be loved. And in order to look to be loved, I must share love. I must share a concern. I must share the heartbeat, the spiritual heartbeat that God has given me to share with the world, that I must do that because God loves me. And when I recognize that love, I want everybody to have it. And yet I realize that not everybody is going to have the type of ministry that God has given me. Because each one of us are individuals. Each one of us are called by God. Many are called, but few are chosen. The call goes out to many. Many say, yes, I will, and they don't. The few, a lot of times, say, no, I won't, and they do. You see, God has a way of seeing and uncovering that true love that you and I have. You know how he uncovers it? He put it there. You see, the love that you have as a Christian is God's love. That's the love that you have when you look at your enemy as Jesus did and say, Father, forgive them, because they don't know what they're doing. That's the type of love you would see on the face of a dying Christian as the smile comes on at a certain time and they don't understand where that smile come from. They're starving to death. They've been beaten. They're being slaughtered. And they're smiling. Nero asked that. Think of it. Why? They knew something the enemy of God didn't know. The love they have is from God. And those who slaughter God's children have crossed the boundary of eternity. And they have declared war against God and against God's children. Well, I read the book a few times. God's children never lose. You know that? The only time we got in trouble is when we decided to do it our way. Remember? God looks at us and says, I love you, you're my family, but I need you now to do what I've called you to do. Take the stand. I've dealt with life from the battlefield of Vietnam, Dominican Republic, to the battlefields as chaplain of prisons. I've seen life and how ugly it can be. But I do know this from my heart. As ugly as life is, the beauty of Jesus Christ living in me is so powerful. I do not fear men. I do not fear life, because my life belongs to my Savior. You and I have a calling, individual Christian. That is relational health. I and you must stand strong in the direct calling God has given us as individuals. And when God said, I've called you, go, I suggest you go. I suggest you do. Because God says, I love you enough that I'm going to allow you to witness the blessings that you're going to see because you've taken my word. Listen well, for God pays attention to every aspect of your life. There are no boundaries between the Christian and Christ, except for the Christian wanting to put one foot in heaven and the other one in hell, straddling the worlds of good and evil. When you straddle, Jesus says, that's lukewarm, and I'll spit you out of my mouth. You do not represent Christ by having one foot in and one foot out. You are a blessing to Christ when you're ready and willing to give your life for the truth. The only truth I know comes from God. The only love that supersedes the human relationship is the love of God for sinners like each of us, looking at ourselves and saying, I cannot serve God. And we go against his very words from his Son. Whosoever wants to, whosoever will, let him. And I will touch that heart. Can I wipe out all the visions I have in my mind from war? No. I can. God didn't take them all away from me. None of us in here has been on a battlefield. It's never left us. It's always there. The faces, the names, the ugliness of battle, and the love of God in the midst. The battle that you're witnessing now in our generation is a battle that you've never seen. It's not just a battle between good and evil. It is a battle that God is watching us stand in the midst of, seeing which way we're going to turn. Do we throw up our hands and say, "I quit"? God, it's too hard. Jesus, my friends, threw up his arms and he said, "Lord, I will nevertheless let your will be done within me." And his will was to love me and you. And his will was to build the strong body of believers in the United States of America that will take a stand for the love of God, the truth of God, and not be ashamed to say Jesus loves you. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. I will not be ashamed of my Savior. I will not bow down to a monarch other than Jesus himself. I and you must, as brothers and sisters in Christ, we must take our calling seriously and to the world. Do you realize that right now we're broadcasting in nations that are slaughtering those Christians? Our little church right here, we're broadcasting on the other side of the world. Christians are listening. Webster knows. He knows how to count them. Christians are listening. You know what they want to hear? They want to hear hope. They want to hear the truth of God. They're standing there watching their own children, their family members being slaughtered and saying, "Will somebody give us a word?" Well, the word is this. When you're a part of the body of Jesus Christ, you belong to God. And may God have mercy on any nation that puts their fingers on you. Will God take the innocent out to protect them from the evil to come? Yes, he will. But when the evil stand there all alone, do you realize, Christian, the only reason this world exists right now is because God will not destroy his own children. The only reason this world hasn't collapsed is because there's one more that needs to be saved out there. Once that final one, and only God will know, as God looks over the earth, he gave us the story. He told us about our life when he's talking about Abraham and Lot. Don't you remember? When he's getting ready to go into Sodom and Gomorrah, don't you remember? He said, "Lord, please have mercy. Don't destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. Lord, if there are 10 righteous there, will you not destroy them?" "No, for the 10 righteous, I will withdraw my hand." And it continues to go down the list. But can you imagine, after he started up high and came down to that 10, that Abraham said, "Surely there's 10 saved people." And he didn't ask for any more. Yet the scripture tells us there was one righteous within the whole city. Everyone else had declared war against God. And the angels of God go in to Sodom and Gomorrah to see firsthand the evil. That evil looks so close to America today. as what you will find in the streets and the cities of our great nation. We find men loving men, women loving women. We find all the filth and garbage of life, even to the point of the murder of the unborn child. It's all going on the same as in Sodom and Gomorrah. And as the angels walked in, they witnessed. And one group stood at the door of Lot's dwelling, the nephew. And that one group said, either send him out or we will take you too. He said that to the angels. Not a smart statement to make. And the scripture tells us that as the angels looked at them, they all were blinded. And they reached in and grabbed Lot. He didn't want to leave. He didn't want to leave. And he told Lot, bring your family and you will go. And the angels ushered them out and said, there's one key to your survival. Don't look back. To look back, you've crossed the boundary. To look back, you're showing your desire to be back into the world of sin. Don't look back. And as Lot with his family leave the city, his wife looked back. Do you realize that Lot was the only one that you and I would call saved? And God said, bring your family and give them hope. Those who would not follow and look back at the world with all its vices, that individual turned to a pillar of salt. Is that happening in our churches today? We see it happening in the United States of America. This is not the era for preachers to stand up and read poetry. This is not the era of the small church, big church, middle-sized church. It's all the church. You and I are part of the church universal. If I have a fellow Christian friend that is in the huge church, he and I are Christians together. We are one in the bonds of love. We must never cross over the boundary that God has set in our life. I am called to do what God's called me to do. I am not called to do what God called you to do. Nor are you called to do what I must. We are all individual personalities. And we must realize and recognize in our life that God has a purpose for just me, for just you, for who you are as an individual. God says, I have a special purpose. And then he names names and he touches hearts. And when he touches that heart, you and I have the freedom to accept or to reject. Lord, I want to go to heaven, but I just soon wait till later, and that way I can live in the world like hell, and I can go to heaven with you later. As a fact of the Word of God, if you will not serve Christ on earth, you will not serve Christ in heaven. We have a call. We are weak, we're struggling, we're hurting. The whole manner of disease has attacked each one of us. But the greatest of those diseases, all of them combined together, can't touch the human greed. As God looks at us, he says, take care of one another. Watch over one another. And you do it because you love, not because it's mandated. It's a part of love. It's a part of a relationship. We are relational in every aspect of our existence. And our eternal existence in heaven is totally dependent on our relationship with Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Nobody else. No, it's not Buddha. It's not Hare Krishna. It is not any other individual or belief. No, it's not Muhammad. The greatest fear that goes out in America today is the fear that when they slaughter the Christians in the rest of the world, do they then finish the United States of America? My answer to them would be, it's according to whether the Christians are in prayer. It will not be our physical might that can conquer. It will not be that we have the greatest army that's ever known. All the armies of all the other nations throughout the world joined together, they cannot touch the army of the United States of America. None of them would have a chance. But that's not where the war is being waged. The war that's being waged right now in the heart of America is that battle for our heart. Let's say good things. We all need to get along. If I got along with the devil, what's that going to do? If I try to appease, when God says, have nothing to do with, am I not going against the word of God? The world says you and I as Christians are angry and we're full of hate. They've got us confused with the Westboro Baptist Church. We see now, even in the state of Kentucky, the Ku Klux Klan is coming back strong. They are a vile and vicious group of white skinhead individuals that neither respect God nor person. They just use the name and abuse the symbolism of the cross of Jesus Christ. They're vile as the Black Panther movement reemerges, vile human beings. And you and I are caught right here in between. What are we going to do? So many say. We do in situations in our world today what every leader and every follower of God did throughout history. We fall to our knees and say, Lord, save us. The mighty apostle Peter, as he turned to look at the storm raging around him, he took his eyes off Jesus. And when he took his eyes off Jesus, he crossed the boundary. And he was back into the ways of the world instead of the spirit of his Savior. But as he was starting to sink, as America is today, it is time for the cry that Peter showed us, and we could hear, Lord, save us. And immediately the scripture says, Jesus grabbed him. My fear is not of all the evil coming against our nation. My fear is all of the good are closed up inside church walls and won't take the prayer and the love of Christ out the door. You can come to church on Sunday. You can pray. You can sing. You can shout. Then why do we go home on Monday and leave our Savior out? The Savior of Almighty God is His Son, Jesus. God sent His one and only Son And he sent us a message. God says, I love the world so much that I sent my one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but will have eternal life, everlasting life. I can't cross the boundary. Because for me or you to cross the boundary, pull out from the territory of God, what we will have done is to abandon the truth. Yeah, but I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. I guarantee you, whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. You're right. But it's the love in our heart for those that are still lost that we need to look at. Are we paying attention to the elderly? Are we paying close attention to the children? Or are we just in the middle of our life and everything's going pretty decent? Don't rock the boat. Do we stand back and watch our elderly beaten, treated like dirt? Do we stand back and watch our children being mistreated and the unborn being slaughtered? Do we speak up? When I said yes to Jesus Christ, I crossed the boundary. The boundary of this life. Throughout all these years, I've realized that as your pastor, as an evangelist, as a chaplain, many times I have stepped off that path God has placed me on, right into the ditch of life, where I would meet my friends. And once again, we'd attempt to stand up together. You and I must stand together. Stand together with the nations of the world, the people who want to serve Christ, and yet for them to mention the name of Jesus, they're watching their children as the vileness of the world decapitates them. Watching it. And then they're slaughtered. Where's the need? The need's in our heart. The need for us to accomplish for the world is prayer. Sounds simple. Let me even make it more so. Tell Jesus on them. You see, God wants to hear from us. But Lord, there's nothing I can do. Really? That sounds like something we've said before we were Christians. That sounds like the person who says, I have seen no hope. When you see Jesus, you see hope. Folks, we've got to get about our Father's business. I don't know what your call is, but I can surely tell you this. Follow the call God gives you, though you turn your family against you, though people will walk away because of your stance, you stand there just the same. Don't you put your dependence in associations or Southern Baptist or Methodist or any name given to religious groups. Put your trust in Jesus. He's never let you down, has he? That's nothing. He never will. And when we let down his word, he doesn't discard us. He comes right down in that ditch of life and he picks us up. And he says, let's get back on the right path. Stay on that path. If you're off, get back on it. Because you see, you're the child of a king. All the hell out there can't touch you. Jesus says, that you and I are his brothers and sisters. And then he says, you, my Father will answer just like he answers me. The things you've seen me do, Jesus said, I'm going to be with my Father in heaven. The things he said you've seen me do, you can do those and many more. Because I've gone to my Father, I'll be at his right hand, and I'll be talking to him about you. It's a blessing from God. It's hope. It's true love. Let's pray. Father, for your love, for your peace, we thank you. For the truth so often, Father, that is stomped on and pushed aside. We pray that you will give each of us, as a part of your body, of your Son on earth, give each of us the courage to stand, the will, Father, to make certain that we do not move until you've called us. And when we take that step, let us take it in faith, trusting and believing that it truly is from you. Whether we stand or whether we fall in this human body, I know, Father, that we are yours and that we will be with you. But give each of us now the courage to stand strong, to affirm to the world, yes, we know Jesus, the Son of God. He's related. And we are related to him. We ask that blessing, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.